It's 27 February. It's the last Sunday of February of 2022. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Security concerns. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we have the Ukraine. I'm not going to talk about that much because everybody is talking about it. All you need to do is just turn on the news and somebody will be talking about the Ukraine. I'll give a couple of titles at the end of the report and that's it. I would, however, like to, it's only a day and a half away and then it ends as soon as it starts, is I would like to wish my wife a happy birthday. It's actually 29 February, so her birthday will be over before it starts. But there you go. I think it's next year or one more year after that, and then she gets another birthday. So I think she'll be 14 or something, 12. Let's see here. We got some news from Israel today, from the Times of Israel. Israel confirms Herzog visit to Turkey as relations thaw. Okay, now any of this kind of stuff could be tossed out in a second because of the situation with the world. But right now, President Herzog is supposed to go to Turkey. Israel confirms that Herzog will travel to Turkey and said it will host senior Turkish officials later this week to plan the visit, which I believe occurred a couple days ago. Turkish media reported earlier in the day that the visit was set to take place on March 9 and 10th. So that's a week away. If the world doesn't explode, he'll go. President Erdogan had previously told Turkish media that he would host Herzog amid efforts to revitalize once strong relations between the two countries. But at the time, this was not confirmed by Israel, with a spokesperson for Herzog declining to comment on Erdogan's announcement. Ties between the two countries have appeared to thaw in recent months, as Erdogan made a number of statements about possible cooperation with Israel. A statement from Herzog's office Tuesday said that Erdogan's top advisor, Ibrahim Kalin, and Turkish Deputy Foreign Minister Önal will visit Israel in the coming days. And like I said, I think that was a day or two ago, to prepare for the visit and to discuss relations between the two states. The statement said that the two officials will meet with a number of Israeli officials, including Foreign Minister Director General Ushpiz, who Herzog's office confirmed visited Turkey for a similar meeting in December of last year. So once again, I say it every time I bring the guy up, I would not trust Erdogan, especially in things related to Israel. But you got to go through with these things to see if he's going to be sincere this time or not. So we'll see where it goes. Okay, from Globes, IAI agrees to $500 million missile defense systems deal with Morocco. And this would not have happened unless we had our previous decent president in the White House. IAI will provide the Moroccan army with the Barak MX air and missile defense system in a deal worth more than $500 million, according to international sources involved in the defense system trade. The Barak MX missile defense system is flexible and modular and can protect against a range of missile threats and drones. The system provides management of three types of interceptors from IAI's Barak family. Barak MRAD is a single-pulse rocket motor which intercepts missiles up to a range of 35 kilometers. Barak LRAD is a dual-pulse rocket motor which intercepts missiles up to 70 kilometers. And Barak ER, dual-pulse rocket motor and an additional booster for a range of 150 kilometers. Barak MX is supported by radar and various launchers for the best coverage of combat aircraft, helicopters, UAVs, cruise missiles, ground-to-air missiles, and ground-to-ground missiles. Morocco initially made inquiries about Israel providing these and other systems when the defense minister, Gantz, visited the country last November. During the visit, Gantz signed a memorandum of understanding about defense collaboration between the two countries, including such deals. According to defense sources, Morocco spoke with Israel about its needs, and Israel proposed several alternatives, of which the Barak system was chosen because of its flexibility and capabilities in various areas. IAI CEO Boaz Levy visited Morocco secretly and presented the missile defense system capabilities and closed the details of the deal. IAI's new appointed chairman, Amir Peretz, has also been deeply involved in the deal. Morocco is involved in a diplomatic and military confrontation with Algeria, as well as with various militant Islamic and separatist terrorist organizations operating in the region. The fear in Morocco is that, like the UAE, which has come under fire from the Iranian-backed Houthi-based fighters, it will come under attack from similar organizations in its own region. And so that's what makes it important, is the last sentence of that article, is that they are having troubles there. And who do they turn to? Their newly established pal, Israel. Thank you, Donald Trump. From Harpazo Board, Jewish couple celebrate 91 years of marriage. We're still in love. A Jewish couple in Israel who celebrated their 91st anniversary told the BBC they were still in love. Jewish orphans in Yemen, Zechariah and Shema, married at 10 and 12, respectively. The centenarian couple survived extreme poverty and persecution and were among the first Yemeni Jews to move to Israel when the state was founded all the way back in 1948. "This is the first and last woman I married, and I never threw her out," he quipped. Shema described how the couple lived in a barn when they first married. The two went on to have 11 children and 64 grandchildren. Okay, so we have some news concerning Christianity here. And before I give you our first article, I'd like to remind you that there's a lady that decided to put together her own web channel or YouTube channel. It's called Bible Bites by the Superior Word. Okay, and what she does is she takes the things that I do, whether it's the Genesis sermons or whether it's the recent sermons or whether it's the Bible studies, and she takes out 1 and 2 minute clips. And they've been coming up on my TV every night, and I've been watching one or two of them. And as I do, she's got amazing graphics in there. Okay, and the way that she puts the things together is outstanding. So if you want to check that out, just type in on YouTube, Bible Bites by the Superior Word, and then you want to subscribe to that. And she does just an amazing job. And it's only a minute or two. It doesn't take much of your time, but you will get actual theology because she picks out things that are detailing theology from the Bible. So there you go with that. Okay, from Fox News, Vatican pulls representatives from Taiwan, Hong Kong, without explanation. Yeah, they are in the back pocket of the Chinese, just like our administration, just like everybody else is in this world right now. That, what is it, the guys that bounce balls, NBA, okay, yeah, they're in the back pocket of the commies. All these people are, well, so is the Pope. The RCC has shuffled its representatives in key East Asian countries, drawing speculation that the Vatican is making good faith moves to appease the CCP, an accusation that the Catholic prelates deny. On January 31st, the Vatican announced that Monsignor Arnaldo Catalan in Taiwan would be leaving the country to take a new position in Rwanda. 5 days later, it was announced that Monsignor Javier Herrera Corona of Hong Kong would be moving to stations in the Congo. The Vatican has not had formal diplomatic relations with Beijing since the Communist Revolution, but the newly vacated seats in Hong Kong and Taiwan, two key international positions for communication with the CCP, have raised concerns that the church is considering actively reaching out to China. Monsignor Corona spoke with the Union of Catholic Asian News on February 8th about the transfers and told reporters that the reshuffling was a normal, unremarkable process. "These are regular transfers," Corona told UCA News. "The mission in Hong Kong is not closed. Taiwan is also not folding," he continued, adding that replacements could be expected within 3 months. And I'll bet you they'll be picked by the commies, which is what they have done with all the other positions of this type within China. The Catholic Church in China is unofficially split along political lines between the Communist Party, Chinese Patriot Catholic Organization, and the underground church that has attempted to evade CCP interference in their liturgy and hierarchy. The CPCO Church is the only approved form of public Catholic worship in the country. As the CCP maintains tight grips on the appointment of bishops and celebration of sacraments, despite Vatican protests, Catholicism poses a unique problem for the communist nation, as its structure and governance grants the foreign pontiff authority over the spiritual lives of its followers. Well, that is a name only now. As we've seen over the past 2 years, China has almost complete control over them. Okay, from Prophecy News Watch. Progressives have captured the minds of the next Christian generation. As Christianity loses its cultural dominance and becomes the creed of the despised minority and the LGBT revolutionaries, they gain cultural dominance. We are witnessing a mass defection from one side to the other. The rapidly rising number of nuns, those who identify with no religious tradition. Somebody I was talking to this morning had that until he met Christ, and now he has a religious tradition, are often people who simply stop identifying as cultural Christians as the label becomes inconvenient rather than nostalgic. Like what I was saying, we were talking about our dog tags in the military, and one of us went into the military with no preference, and I went in with Episcopal, because that's what I grew up with. And I was what they would call you a person of a religious tradition. Okay. And it's just because that's the church that my parents went to. But now people don't want to be identified with that cultural position anymore because we have all these LGBT people. And so they're just pushing out Christianity from their lives completely. And they're identifying on the other side of the aisle. That's what's happening. Okay, identifying as LGBT is trendy. Now, I've been saying this for 2 years, but everybody denies it. They say it's innate in you and it's part of your DNA and all this kind of stuff. But here they admit, right in this article, that identifying as LGBT is trendy. It has nothing to do with who you are as an actual human being, and guaranteed to get the approval of one's peers and the social media hordes who pass as such these days. It's all a cultural thing. That's all it is, and that's all it's ever been. That's why a Daily Mail reported a few years back that the high school girls were worrying that they are dumb and boring if they are straight. Then why the number of trans kids is skyrocketing. And Dr. Lisa Littman is referring to the trend as peer contagion. 30% of millennials identify as LGBTQ, according to a soon-to-be-released study that is based on scientific polling data. Among Christians, the numbers were lower, but only slightly so, with just under 30% of millennial Christians identifying as LGBTQ, LMNOP. The pollster who worked on the new study, George Barna, attributes the unusually high number he found to social and news media coverage that makes it safe and cool for young Americans to identify as LGBTQ, whether or not it represents their actual sexual orientation. From Yahoo, a priest changed one word. This is from a couple weeks ago. You may have heard it, but I decided to go ahead and include it anyway, just because it's important enough to get you informed on what's going on in the Roman Catholic Church, because a lot of people that attend the Superior Word came out of Catholicism. A priest changed one word. Thousands of baptisms he performed are declared invalid. A priest resigned this month after his diocese announced that thousands of baptisms he had performed were invalid because he had changed a single word. He said, "We baptize you," instead of "I baptize you." "It is with sincere pastoral concern that I inform the faithful that baptisms performed by Reverend Arango, a priest of the Diocese of Phoenix, are invalid." Bishop Thomas J. Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix said in a letter last month, Arango said, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit," instead of "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He was including the parents who were actually doing the thing. They're allowing it to be done. Okay? The issue is with using "we" is that it is not the community that baptizes a person. Rather, it is Christ and Him alone. So what they're saying is that guy that's doing the baptizing, when he says that "I baptize you," is Christ. He is standing in place of Christ, which is one of the theological problems with the Roman Catholic Church. They claim that they are the vicars of Christ on earth, that they speak for Him and that they can go ahead and continue revelation outside of the Bible. This is a real problem. And this is what you have when something stupid like this comes along. First off, infant baptism is not ever mentioned in Scripture. It's not authorized by Scripture. It is something that you do after you personally commit to Jesus Christ. It is a command of the Lord. I'm sorry for hyper-dispensationalists that disagree. They're wrong. This is something the Lord commanded under the new covenant. How many new covenants are there?
One.
It pertains to Jew and to Gentile. There are not two gospels. There is one gospel. Jesus gave the commission after he was resurrected, after his shed was blood, initiating the new covenant. Therefore, when he says that you are to make disciples baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are only two commands he gave us. One is the Lord's Supper, the other is baptism. If you're not strong enough to go out and do those two things, then you probably haven't made a proper commitment to Christ. Okay, that's all that he ordered you to do. Everything else is in the epistles, and those are our marching orders for this dispensation. But please get your theology right. If you have not been baptized because you've been misled by hyper-dispensationalists, stop listening to those people and get baptized. Okay, this is a command from the Lord. Okay, they go on. Those who believe they or their children were baptized by Arango, here it is, can fill out a form online to be properly baptized. Subsequent sacraments, including marriage, may need to be repeated by those who had invalid baptisms performed by Arango.
Wow.
The entire thing is insane. Roman Catholicism is insane. I'm sorry, if you're Roman Catholic and you disagree with me, that's fine. It is crazy theology. It has nothing to do with the God of the Bible, and you need to get out of that denomination. You need to wake up. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today, from the Jerusalem Post. Why is no one talking about Iran digging a new unbombable nuke facility? Iran is developing a new nuclear threat that could be a game changer and which will continue to proceed regardless of whether there is a nuclear deal or not. It is a problem that almost no one is talking about in an area called Natanz, where the Mossad allegedly blew up two different nuclear facilities in July 2020 and April 2021, respectively. The new enormous nuclear threat is a new underground facility Iran is digging and building in the Natanz area, which goes so deep under a mountain, so large that it will leave the Fordo facility in the dust in terms of how difficult it would be for the IDF to strike it. In a report, Institute for Science and International Security President David Albright wrote, Fordo is already viewed as so deeply buried that it would be difficult to destroy via aerial attack. The new Natanz site may be even harder to destroy. Why no one is talking about it, other than Albright, is probably a mix of it being an issue that may not fully mature until 2023, and then it'll be too late, and that there are few good options for addressing. The main mountain harboring the new Natanz tunnel complex has a height of 1,608 meters above sea level. In comparison, the mountain harboring the Fordo centrifuge enrichment plant is about 960 meters tall. The report said that this makes the Natanz mountain about 650 meters, or well over 50% taller, potentially providing even greater protection to any facility built underneath it. There you go. Nobody's talking about it. We're still dealing with these people, and they'll just let them do what they want there, and nobody will check this out. A lot of earthquakes in that area. Yep. From the Washington Examiner, shock. DHS Springs plan for 16,000 Afghan influx through Loudoun County. Without warning, of course, the Biden admin told Loudoun County officials that it plans to roll an influx of 16,000 Afghan refugees through a convention center as part of its settlement program. Sheriff Michael Chapman said that officials from the DHS's Federal Protective Service said that up to 1,000 at a time would be temporarily housed at the National Conference Center in the ritzy Lansdowne area of East Leesburg, Virginia. The agency said that 2,000 a month would arrive between February and September. Each refugee is to be provided with cash and a cell phone while being required to stay at the center. However, Chapman said that the plan lacked key details and several of his questions were not answered by top Biden officials, especially those on security and communications with locals. It comes on the heels of a similar settlement parade through the Dulles Expo Center and other facilities in the Northern Virginia area, during which there were reports of refugees simply leaving. In a release, Chapman expressed concern over the admin's lack of transparency about dumping the refugees, most of whom do not speak English, in a highly populated area that includes two schools. While the public has welcomed former Afghan officials, notably translators who helped the U.S. during the War on Terror, locals have raised significant security concerns about language barriers and background checks. That is in one of the most liberal spots in the country, and they're concerned about this. It shows you how bad this is. From the Epoch Times, Pentagon audit shows dozens of Afghans with security concerns were let into the United States. A new Pentagon audit of last year's U.S. military-led civilian evacuation of Afghanistan found that dozens of Afghans considered potentially dangerous were brought to the United States. According to the DOD Inspector General report, DOD's NGIC has identified 50 Afghan personnel in the United States with info in DOD records that would indicate potentially significant security concerns. And NGIC has not located most of those Afghan individuals. They're just running around America getting ready to blow you up. The report says, for example, the agency made an attempt in September of 2021 to locate 31 of the security risk Afghans, and of those 31, only 3 could be located. The report also says the National Counterterrorism Center, which ought to just be closed after this, was not accessing all available data from the Pentagon when vetting Afghan refugees that came over during the evacuation. Why have a center like that if you're not going to use the information that you have? This is reviving concerns about the screening process used for Operation Allies Welcome, a resettlement plan for Afghan allies launched by Biden shortly after the Taliban takeover of the country in August 2021. So there you go. Now something interesting from Mongolia. From CNA, Mongolia reopens borders for vaccinated travelers. Okay, I'm sorry, if you haven't been vaccinated, you can't go. But if you've been vaccinated, you can get on the airplane and fly to Mongolia and you can enter the country now. Mongolia has reopened its borders to fully vaccinated international travelers, rolling back coronavirus curbs that had kept the country isolated for 2 years. Mongolia's cabinet approved a resolution downgrading the pandemic state of readiness from orange to yellow, effectively lifting all restrictions on business operations. The move means the country of 3 million people fully opens its borders to international travel. Well, obviously that's not true, because if it was fully open, then anybody could come in. But no, only certain people can come in. Mongolia is going down the same path as everybody else. They're continuing along with something that has not worked. Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up with that? Do you know, Miss Garrett? You don't. Are you waiting to hear? She's very excited. Okay, from Study Finds. Revolutionary Bionic. Now, we were just watching the intro to the $6 million man this morning. Somebody mentioned him, and I said, oh, well, let's watch it. I haven't seen it in years. So we sat up here with my iPad and watched the intro to the. We can make him better than he was. Better. Stronger.
Build back better.
Faster. Yes. Okay. Build back better. That's what they did with him back in the 70s. Okay. Revolutionary bionic pacemaker capable of reversing heart failure, now set for human trials. We may be on the medical precipice of turning back time, or actually reversing the heart rhythm effects of cardiac events. A potentially game-changing bionic pacemaker capable of restoring the human heart's naturally irregular beat is set to undergo trials involving heart patients in New Zealand this year. Currently, all pacemakers pace the heart metronomically, okay, which means a very steady, even pace. But when you record heart rate in a healthy individual, you see it is constantly on the move. Current pacemakers just can't mimic the perfectly irregular pace of a naturally healthy human heart. The new version, though, may change everything. If you analyze the frequencies within your heart, you find the heart rate is coupled to your breathing. Obviously, you're running and and so your heart goes faster as well. It's coupled to your breathing, okay? It goes up on inspiration, and it goes down on expiration. And that is a natural phenomenon in all animals and humans. And we're talking about very ancient animals that were on the planet 430 million years ago. Well, I would argue against that, but we'll just go on. Considering metronomic heartbeat pacemakers are routinely given to heart failure patients with low energy levels, why aren't we pacing them with this variability? The loss of one's typical irregular heartbeat is a near universal symptom among heart disease patients, and often a first sign that something is off. People with high blood pressure, people with heart failure, their heart rate is not being modulated by their breathing. It may be a little bit, but it's very, very depressed, very suppressed. We decided that we would put the heart rate variability back into animals with heart failure and see if it did anything good. Most recently, experiments with the new irregular pacemakers have produced very promising results on a large animal model of heart failure. Earlier, similar tests with rats have produced similarly positive findings. And the big news is that we believe we have now found a way to reverse heart failure. Man, I love that. We got a guy in the church that wears a pacemaker, and I always worry about him because of that. If we could have that, it would steady things out more. Wonderful. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. Okay, also, I would like you, if you want to see testimonials on vaccine people, actual testimonials instead of just reading statistics, my friend sent me a website. You can go to Real Not Rare, RealNotRare.com, RealNotRare.com for lots of vaccine testimonials. It's just something that you can use if you are curious about that kind of thing. Okay, from Breitbart, Fox News Channel's Dr. Makary, CDC using science as political propaganda. The absolute worst studies came from them. That's all I need to give you of that. You get the picture from that. I have another article here, which is much more detailed, from the Epoch Times. Former Harvard professor Martin Kulldorff, science and public health are broken. Dr. Martin Kulldorff is one of the most qualified public health pandemic experts in the United States. To the narrative shapers, he's a pariah. As a prominent epidemiologist and statistician, Kulldorff has worked on detecting and monitoring infectious disease outbreaks for two decades. His methods are widely used around the world and by almost every state health department in the United States, as well as by hundreds of people at the CDC. Kulldorff has also worked on vaccine safety for decades, developing globally used methods for monitoring adverse reactions in new vaccines. His resume on the FDA website, still there to this day, is 45 pages long and includes a list of 201 peer-reviewed published journal papers. His work has been cited more than 27,000 times. Since 2003, Kulldorff worked at Harvard Medical School, first as an associate professor of population medicine and later as a professor of medicine. In November, Harvard and Kulldorff abruptly parted ways. I wonder why. Kulldorff prefers to keep the reasons private, but it's hard to ignore that he placed himself in the crosshairs of the pandemic narrative early on in the 15 days to slow the spread lockdown and has since paid the price. It's quite something for a public health scientist at the top of his game to admit that both science and public health are broken. For some reason, a public official narrative was established, and you weren't allowed to question it, which, of course, is very detrimental both to the pandemic and how to deal with the pandemic, because you have to have a vibrant discussion to figure out how to best deal with these things. The Swedish native said he tried to point out in March 2020 that there was a very steep age gradient on mortality for COVID-19. Kulldorff said he attempted to publish a paper both in U.S. medical journals and mainstream newspapers stating that while anyone could contact the virus, the focus should be on protecting the elderly and those at high risk. His paper was knocked back from all directions. I was able to publish in Sweden in the major daily newspapers there during the spring of 2020. So that was not a problem, he said. but the U.S. was not allowed to have a debate, which is very troubling. His early efforts culminated in the Great Barrington Declaration, something we talked about years ago, published with Dr. Sunetra Gupta and Dr. J, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that guy's last name, in October 2020. The declaration called for a more nuanced approach to the one-size-fits-all restrictions that had been imposed on much of Western society. The most compassionate approach that balances the risks and benefits of reaching herd immunity is to allow those who are at minimal risk of death to live their lives normally, to build up immunity to the virus through natural infection, while better protecting those who are at highest risk. The declaration states, Kulldorff said the Great Barrington Declaration proposed nothing new. It's just the basic fundamental principles of public health that existed in the pandemic preparedness plan that was prepared many years before, he said. It's sort of astonishing that it wasn't followed from the very beginning of the pandemic. Well, if you know what's going on, you would never say it was astonishing. But conventional public health science had deemed it unnecessary and potentially harmful to close schools and small businesses, to impose masking on the general public, and to quarantine healthy people. Kulldorff said the document wasn't for the politicians or scientists or even doctors, although thousands of each signed it. The most important audience was the public, he said, because it's the public that ultimately will end these misguided public health policies. It's the public, regular people, who are suffering the consequences. He said the authors wanted to advise the average person that their intuition was correct, that the restrictions weren't based on public health science. So when you oppose them, you're standing on firm scientific ground. The key thing was to break the pretense that there was scientific consensus for these lockdowns, which there wasn't. The appearance of a scientific consensus was formed through high-profile public health officials such as Fauci, Collins, and Birx, as well as corporate media, along with the stifling of opposing viewpoints. There's really no public health arguments against the declaration. So if you want to criticize it, you have to make up lies about it and then attack that, as well as slander the people behind it. And they did both of these things, Kulldorff said. It wasn't until a December 2021 email dump that Kulldorff and the American public got to peek behind the curtain of how the traditional pandemic playbook had been tossed and how swiftly dissenting voices were maligned. That's Revelation Plagues right there. Begins with a D in front of any politician. From the Epic Times, highly pathogenic bird flu detected near New York City. Farmers are on alert. So it's gone from the five states I mentioned last week, now New York. Jerusalem Post, highly lethal bird flu detected in Delaware poultry. So it's expanding. It's getting all over the country, or at least the Northeast so far and some of the mid regions. Okay, morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Gallup, kind of confirms what we talked about here earlier, LGBT identification in the United States ticks up to 7.1%. It doubled in 8 years and is going up at an increasing rate. In other words, this is a fad. People are identifying simply to look popular. From Fox News, transgender swimmers Leah Thomas and Isaac Hennig clobber Ivy League competition amid debate over eligibility. And I would say, without saying exactly what, that actually proves a couple of things. Yes, we got some news from around the world now. And I would say, as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. Okay, from the Sacramento Bee. Oh, talking about our sermons, we're almost done with Deuteronomy. We're in our 100-and-something sermon by the time we're done. I think we're in 92 or 93 right now. But today is a witness against you, Deuteronomy 31, 22 through 30. And then we're going to get into the Song of Moses. You talk about some beautiful literature. That is it. It is literally beautiful to read the Song of Moses and see how it is actually presented directly from the Hebrew. I hope that you will enjoy those sermons. Okay, from the Sacramento Bee, a bill of rights for cats and dogs. Yes, California lawmakers are considering one. Yes, Americans enjoy a Bill of Rights, and soon California pets could as well. A California lawmaker has introduced a bill that would enshrine a dog and cat Bill of Rights into state law, requiring every animal shelter and animal rescue group to post a copy of said rights on their premises. Assembly Bill 1881 enumerates 7 fundamental rights that every doggy and kitty cat in California would have. It includes these provisions: freedom from exploitation, cruelty, neglect, and abuse. A life of comfort free from fear and anxiety. Now, how do you regulate that? One, you can't, but two, it becomes an arbitrary decision by the people to let you keep your doggy or kitty cat or not. That's what that is. Here, number 3, listen to this. Daily mental stimulation and appropriate exercise. Yes. Nutritious food, sanitary water, and shelter in an appropriate and safe environment. Preventive and therapeutic health care. Proper identification through tags, microchips, or other humane means. Spaying and neutering to prevent unwanted litters. These are basic rights that all creatures should have, especially dogs and cats, they say.
But not the homeless in California.
What's that?
Neutering
causes stress, so they've already contradicted themselves in their own bill. But I would like you to listen to this. Next article. You talk about mental stimulation because that's one of the things they require, mental stimulation. Epic Times. Pets poisoned by marijuana, a growing, expensive, and embarrassing problem. Yes, confessing that a pet may have munched on marijuana can be embarrassing or even spark fears about possible penalties from animal owners. So now we're worried about mental stimulation. We'll just give them some packed brownies and go sit down in the corner for a while. You'll be stimulated all you want. Hey, everything is just bad. Everything in this world is just bad. Even the good, I mean, it's just tainted with bad. Okay, Mail Online.
Animals have the right to bear arms.
They have the right to bear arms, absolutely. Or bear their teeth. Okay, Mail Online. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen admits surging 7.5% inflation is not acceptable, but claims the U.S. economy would be even worse without Biden's lavish spending. That is one dumb human being right there. That is not a smart person. Okay, from the Epic Times. Security videos show no GOP January 6 Hill reconnaissance tours, Republicans say. One of the charges was that the Republicans were out there reconnaissing the Capitol to overtake it. And they have proved now, because somebody went down, watched all of the videos, there is no reconnaissance at all. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican from Illinois, says the Capitol security footage the time prior to the attack, January 6, 2021, disproves Democrat claims that House Republicans gave reconnaissance tours to riot planners. Okay, Breitbart. Joe Biden sanctions Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline 9 months after lifting Donald Trump's sanctions. Breitbart. Noam from South Dakota. Biden gave Putin all the power when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. If anybody says that this Russian stuff about Trump, it's been such a distraction, it's been such a nightmare, because it's totally false, it's totally untrue. It is the left that is in the projection. They are in the back pocket of these people. They have been, and they continue to be, and they will continue to be. All right, so Gateway Pundit. Biden's jihad against fossil fuels is financing Vladimir Putin's military adventures. Newsmax. Eyeing inflation. U.S. unlikely to block Russia oil sales if Putin invades. Next shark. Donald Trump. China's going to be next. Will absolutely invade Taiwan following Russia-Ukraine crisis. Gateway Pundit. Jen Psaki again insists Ukraine should not be invaded by unwanted foreigners and forgets about the southern U.S. border.
Yeah.
Gateway Pundit. California man arrested 3 times in 1 day after being freed under Los Angeles County's $0 bail policy. 3 times in 1 day. The cops might as well not even bother. Just don't do your job because you're just wasting your time. TripAdvisor. This is something that I actually do not like, but I'm going to report it for your benefit anyway. It's something that every year when I see it come up, I get sad because I have to drive over the bridge to get home after church every Sunday. Okay? TripAdvisor. Siesta Beach, number 14 on the entire planet and number 1 in the United States of America. Siesta Beach. So if you want to go vacation, please go to Melbourne. Thank you. Okay, this is a little bit long.
Australia.
Yeah, go to get your vaccine and go to Australia. Okay, this is long, but I want to know who said it. This is very insightful. Every week I say, please stop watching 8,927 prophecy updates. Watch something of value once in a while, like a sermon about the Bible. Okay, who said this? Here is another who spent all his time in interpreting the prophecies so that everything he reads of in the newspapers, he could see in Daniel or Revelation. Some say he is wise, but I would rather spend my time in winning souls. I would sooner bring one sinner to Jesus than unravel all the mysteries of the divine word, for salvation is the one thing we are to live for.
Charlie Garrett.
No.
Less.
No.
Spurgeon or Moody?
Spurgeon. Okay, you get something. You can have a sip. You can have a sip of my apple cider vinegar.
No.
Charles Spurgeon. Very well done. Okay, I got a lesser here for you. I bet you cannot figure out what he is writing about. And it might have been Kathy. I think they sent me two and I just picked one of them. Okay. It's possible love can last long. Ask Zach and Shama how strong. Their marriage it nears almost 100 years. To each other they truly belong. Okay, I got a little bit of irony here for you. It came from the Canada protests, which have been squashed by a communist government, but it's still rather ironic. Mail Online. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell filled a truck with 10,000 free pillows for Freedom Convoy protesters, but it was turned away at the Michigan-Canadian border because his trucker was unvaccinated. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.